Hey, Bernie here. I want to remind you to participate anonymously in my Midlife Fulfillment Survey. I'm partnering with Udemy to create groundbreaking research. Again, it's anonymous, no email required, and the survey is linked up in the show notes. Go ahead and take it. Welcome to the Midlife Fulfilled Podcast. Are you over 40 and ready to truly thrive? Well, on this podcast, we go deep on ways to thrive across the five pillars of midlife: health, fitness, career, relationships, and legacy. I'm Bernie Borges, midlife advocate, life coach, and your host. Subscribe now and get ready to thrive. Hello, my midlife friend. This is Bernie Borges, your host of the Midlife Fulfill podcast. And this is episode 175, a takeaway episode from episode 174, my conversation with Clara Capano. You know the drill. On takeaway episodes, I summarize key discussion points from the previous episode, and then I hone in on one key takeaway that I want to emphasize to you. And then I issue you a challenge to consider on this topic. First, let me begin by reintroducing you to Clara Capano. Clara is a successful entrepreneur who has experienced firsthand the struggle of balancing work and life. Haven't we all? Now, today she is an author. She's got three books to her name. She's a keynote speaker and a coach. She's always considered herself an overachiever, and she confesses to succumbing to the same routine that many of us have fallen into, which is characterized by striving to check off more and more of those boxes, such as attaining titles in our career, maybe driving a nice car, getting the big house, wearing a nice wardrobe, taking nice vacations, and generally showing the world that you are a success. Now, let's be honest. Many of us, not all of us, but many of us can make the same confession. Not surprisingly, Clara soon found herself on a never-ending hamster wheel, feeling the strain of imbalance, or as she calls it, a lack of harmony. Now, realizing that this was a common struggle for both men and women, Clara made it her mission to challenge the societal notion that doing more is better, that doing more is equal to success. So she created a success model that she now shares through her speaking and her books and her coaching business, and she walks the walk through her Clarity Success Method. And she spells Clarity C-L-A-R-A-T-Y. It's a play on her name. Now, the Clarity Success Method empowers others to gain balance, or harmony, as she says, in their life by prioritizing a healthy work life that defines success on their own terms. I love that. So, to get to my takeaway, I want to summarize the key three points from our conversation on episode 174. Point number one, finding clarity in your vision. Wow, this is huge. Clara shared her backstory and explained her Clarity Success Method, which is actually based on her personal journey to bring balance and intention into her life. Now, she emphasizes the importance of having a clear vision for your life, taking intentional actions, and balancing work with rest and recovery, and celebrating achievements every day. Number two, align your values with your vision. This is also huge. We discussed the struggles that people experience when they're trying to find balance in all aspects of life, including career, relationships, health, and personal growth. She says it's important to regularly revisit and align your current values with personal and professional goals to maintain fulfillment. Amen to that. And number three, vision and action create impact. Again, huge. Clara expressed the impact of her Clarity Success Method on her own life, describing how it has empowered her to be present, to understand the importance of rest, and to disconnect from work and maintain core relationships. Now, those are three big discussion points, and the takeaway that I want to share with you is all about vision. And I'm about to get probably the most personal that I've gotten on all my previous takeaway episodes. And I'm going to be honest, I wish that I had discovered what it means to have a vision sooner in my life. In fact, it got me to thinking, why isn't this taught in school? At least I wasn't taught the meaning of vision when I was in school. Maybe it's because of the schools that I attended. I don't know. Or maybe it's because the educators who are responsible for creating the curriculum for children don't themselves understand the meaning of vision. All right, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that educators at the school district level understand the meaning of vision. After all, they're adults. But maybe they don't understand how profound it would be to empower kids to learn the meaning of vision and the impact of vision on their lives. Again, I wasn't taught that. Now you might be thinking, kids are too young to understand the meaning and the impact of vision. And look, I don't have a PhD in education, so I don't know. But let's say, for the sake of argument, that children under the age of 13 generally are not going to fully understand the meaning and the impact of vision. But what about high school kids? By the time kids are in grades 9, 10, 11, 12, I mean, those are high school years, they're taking advanced classes in subjects like math and science and social studies. And kids at this age are capable of learning a lot of information. I dug up one example to share with you, and this is just one example. A young man by the name of George Wang, a senior at the Oklahoma School of Science and Mathematics, he recently made a discovery that disrupts a fundamental theory in chemistry. Now, I admit, I know almost nothing about chemistry, but apparently, the carbon atom is proven to naturally form four bonds. Four. Okay, now that's considered basic chemistry. Well, this high school senior, again, his name is George Wang, he set out to make seven bonds, not five, not six, but seven bonds in a carbon atom. And you know what? He did it. He had his calculations verified and, along with his teacher, published a peer-reviewed paper about the discovery in a scientific journal. Wow, if a high school senior can make a first-time scientific discovery, why can't they understand the meaning and the impact of vision? Now, you might be thinking that science is left brain, and maybe understanding vision might be more right brain. And I admit there's some logic to that. And I also know that not every high schooler makes new scientific discoveries like George Wang, but that's not my point. My point is that if educators devoted time to the meaning and impact of vision in this age range, teaching kids in this age range about what vision is, maybe some of us might have discovered our purpose earlier in our lives. Hey, Berna here with a quick update. My 2024 Midlife Fulfilled Survey is now available. I've partnered with Udemy, a leader in online education, on a survey that's going to inform a forthcoming research report on fulfillment in midlife. And I want you to take this survey. Now, you will not be asked to identify yourself. That means no name or email is requested on this survey. The link for this survey is in the show notes for this episode, as well as on the homepage at midlifefulfilled.com. Hey, while you're on the show notes page, get my new Midlife Fulfilled scorecard, where you can score yourself in each of the five pillars and then easily calculate a total fulfillment score. Hey, that's all for now. Let's get back to the episode. Now, here on the Midlife Fulfilled podcast, I have the privilege, and I mean privilege, of interviewing people from all walks of life, many of whom have discovered a purpose that is fulfilling to them. But what they all have in common is that they discovered this purpose in their 40s or 50s or 60s and sometimes even beyond. I wish I had been taught the meaning and the impact of vision for my life when I was about 30 years old. And this is where I'm going to get personal. So speaking again, for me, I don't think I would have fully understood the meaning and impact of vision in my teens or my 20s. Notice, though, I said fully understood it. I wish I had access to a class on vision in my high school years. I really do. if that class was taught in an experiential learning method, also known as active learning, I would have been required to work on a project. In other words, I would have experienced something around this. And even though I don't know for sure how much I would have embraced the meaning and impact of vision for my life at this time in my youth, I'm sure that the education would have been foundational for me. And there's a very good chance, again, speaking for myself only, that the concept would have come into meaning for me in my 30s. Again, I'm speaking for myself, because in my 30s is when my life's circumstances began to formulate meaning. This is the period in my life when I truly, truly began adulting. And I just had deeper thought about my purpose. This is when I think a foundational understanding of vision, grounded in principles that might have been taught to me in a high school class setting, would have come into play for me. And I'm pretty certain that I would have devoted more energy to understanding my vision and how I can harness it for purpose and meaning in my life if I had had that foundational education. The work that Clara Capano does is testimony to the fact that many adults lack a vision for their life. Let me say this another way. If this wasn't true, there'd be no audience for Clara. She wouldn't even have a business. Let me just give this to you in business terms. If a product or service is introduced to the market and there's no demand for it, the product or service doesn't survive. It's business 101. Well, Clara's work is in demand because many people lack a vision for their life. And I'm so glad that Clara's purpose is to help others understand their vision, their purpose. As for me, I began to understand the meaning and the impact of vision in my 50s. But I didn't really take action on it until the current season of my life in my 60s. Now again, I'm speaking for myself. I know I've said that several times, but I just want to really emphasize that. And this is a deeply personal thing for me to admit on my podcast. I'm not even sure that I could admit this if I was speaking from a stage to a live audience where I'm looking people in the eye, to the extent that you can look in their eyes from a stage. I'm admitting this on a microphone, on my podcast, where I don't have to look at people. It's still not easy, but I feel that it's the right thing for me to do. I wish that I had known about vision 20 or 30 years ago. Even if my vision changed over time, which is okay and probably would have happened, at least I would have been leading my life with a plan. Imagine that, a plan for my life. Just saying that gives me chill bumps. Instead, in the absence of a plan, I was caught in the current of life. Current is obviously a metaphor, right? I let that current just take me where it took me. So I created a life with a loving family, a moderately successful career, and many healthy relationships. But I can't help but wonder how my life would be different if I had been driven by a vision 30 years ago. Now look, I want to be clear on one thing. I am not dwelling on the past. I'm not. And I'm certainly not whining about my life. No way. I am very blessed. As I said, I've got a loving family, an okay career, and many great relationships. But what I am doing is looking forward with a vision. And I'm not putting age restrictions on my vision either. I am motivated by having an impact on people in any midlife season through creating self-awareness. That's what I'm driven by. So here's my challenge to you. How are you reacting to my story? Is your story different than mine? Did you have a clear vision for your purpose and your mission when you were in your 20s or 30s? Or is your story similar to my story? Like me, I encourage you to be self-aware and look forward, not backward. All we can do about the past is learn from it. I've learned from my lack of vision in the past by pouring my heart and soul into my vision at this stage of life. I'm looking forward, as I said, without regard for my age. And as long as God gives me breath, I will have a vision with purpose, with meaning, with balance. And I'll do everything that I can to deliver on my vision. And I wish the same for you. Before I close out this episode, let me remind you to take my fulfillment survey. You've heard me talk about this. I am partnering with Udemy, a leader in online education, to produce groundbreaking research. You can participate in this research anonymously, meaning we don't ask for your name or your email, by completing the survey, which is linked up in the show notes for this episode. I want to thank Clara Capano for joining me on episode 174 on this very important topic. And I want to remind you that you can watch my video recording with Clara on episode 174 on the Midlife Fulfilled YouTube channel. That's also linked up in the show notes page. Hey, my next guest episode features Vicki Dixon. Now, I didn't meet Vicki at PodFest. That's right. We didn't meet at PodFest, but we both attended PodFest, which is a podcasting event, and I came across her content and I was mesmerized. Vicki is an expert in human design, and Vicki explains the science of human design and then fascinates me with her read of my human design. Now, you'll hear all about that on episode 176. You don't want to miss that episode. And hey, if you're a new listener, welcome. I invite you to hit the subscribe button on your podcast player so that you don't miss this episode as well as future episodes. You know what time it is, my midlife friend? It's that time when I remind you that if you're 80% fulfilled, you're doing great. And if you want to know how I know this, you guessed it, download my scorecard. I'll see you on episode 176. I'll see you then. Before I remind you that if you're 80% fulfilled, you're doing great, I invite you to participate anonymously in groundbreaking research on midlife fulfillment. I'm partnering with Udemy, a leader in online education, and your participation in our survey will inform a research report and help shape the future of fulfillment in midlife. When you take this survey, you won't be asked to identify yourself. Even if you choose to optionally sign up to receive the report, your survey responses will remain anonymous. Please take this survey. It means a lot to me, and I think you'll enjoy it too. You can find this survey in the show notes for this episode, as well as on my website at midlifefulfilled.com. Friend, remember, if you're 80% fulfilled, you're doing great. Now, if you want me to prove it to you, I have a scorecard for that. I'm your host, Bernie Borges, and I'll catch you on the next episode of the Midlife Fulfilled podcast.